and the drama team for the nice drama that they did to depict our today's topic, which is what? Indian in heart and global in spirit. Most of you must have, many of you must have seen this ad, right? Whenever you board a flight or you come out of the airport, it's a very prominent poster which is there. And I also thought of the topic when I read it over there. And I thought this is a very, very relevant topic to all of us. And why I thought of it, I would like to start with a question to ask all of you. How many of you all read newspaper every day? That's all? Only 3, 4, 5. Others don't read newspaper? You all watch news on TV, on the net? No time. Common disease of Bombay, no time to do even these routine things. You know, some of the people outside, they cannot start their day without reading the newspaper. So anyway, those of you all, if whether you read the news in the newspaper or you see it on the news channels or you read it on your apps or whatever it is, a lot of news is available. And what are some of the common news items which we read? What do you read? This one was so happy that he jumped out of the building. You read like that? That one and that one was so happy that they had such a prem color that they murdered each other, you know. Do you read those type of things? By reading newspaper, we come to know of some of the social trends that are going on in the world today. That's what you come to know, no? Otherwise, you will live in your own house, in your own world. You don't know what's happening in the world. So, by reading newspaper, you get to know what are the common trends that are happening around us. And it's not very, we call it news, but it's nothing new. Only the form is different. It's like, you know, you have ice cream, but ice cream is ice cream. The flavors might differ. Today it is strawberry, tomorrow it is butterscotch, then it is vanilla, it's mango, but it's ice cream. So news also is the same, you know. This one was raped by that one. Only the place might change. This one was raped in school. That one was raped in the bus. Or suicide. It's different that somebody jumped off the building, somebody laid on the track. Suicide is suicide. So some of the social trends which are commonly existing is, if you see over here, there is increasing rates of what? Premarital relationships going on in the world today, right? There's divorce, there's suicide, there's premarital sex, the mishaps of social media which is going on due to so much of social media being, everybody being so active on social media. There is increase in individualism. Everybody wants to live a very individualistic life. Because of that, there is increase in hedonism. There is breaking of family culture. You see, there is decreased respect for elders and seniors. Have you noticed that? Before, even when we used to leave home, at least exam time, not every day, we used to touch the feet of our parents and leave. But today, that is considered as so orthodox because it's not what? It's not trendy. Everybody wants to do what? Trendy things. You want to eat trendy, you want to wear things trendy, you want to speak trendy, you want to, like our this Pooja girl who was in the drama, she wanted to try to be something which she was not. And why these social trends have come about, if you try to analyze the cause of it, the cause is very, very simple. And the cause is what? The cultural drift that has happened in our society lately. Right? You know what's a drift? Sudden change. Right? Sudden change you will always call as a drift. So you see this picture in the middle? It's a picture of a fractured leg. And I very much wanted to convey a personal experience. About 2 months back, I fractured my leg. I had a ligament tear and a small fracture, and I was finding it, I mean, doctor told me you should not walk much and should take care. So I had to, after some time of getting little bit used to, I started walking, but I was limping because I was not supposed to put pressure on one leg, right? Because my leg was fractured and it had to heal. So the plaster had to be kept for some time, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And after the plaster was removed, my leg was all right. But I still was not able to walk normally. Why? Because I had got habituated to walking with a limb. Although there was no pain, there was no fracture, I could walk straight. But I had got habituated in how much time? Only in 3 weeks. I found it difficult to lead a normal walking style, and my husband was telling me, why are you still limping? Is it paining? I said, no, it's not paining. But I had got into that habit. And consciously, I had to remind myself, walk straight, don't limp, you know, don't put equal weight on both the legs. And it took me another 2 weeks to have my normal chal, as you say, you know, walking thing. What happened to me, that in such a short time, I just got used to this change which took place in my body. Just a fracture. Now imagine, we are not talking of one fracture on one leg, we are talking of what? A fractured society with fractured values. Right? Do you agree? These social trends, they are just an indicator of the fractured values that our society is, unfortunately, we are going through. And that is the simple reason because of which we think that we have lost what? We have lost our Indianness. Which values do we talk about? When we talk about Indianness, right? We are talking about Indian at heart. Means we are talking about being Indian and having that Indianness in us. So if you ask yourself, okay, what is Indianness? Is it just by painting your face like this? You become an Indian. Nowadays, you know, when 15th August and 26th Jan comes, people paint their hands like that, they wear clothes like that, there are balloons like that, they make cakes like that. Everything is there just to show, but just by having these three colors, whether it is on your face, on your body, on your house, does it make you an Indian? It doesn't. Indianness means to know your own culture. Right? Indianness means to know your own heroes. We have such great heroes in our Indian culture. We have great people like Shivaji Maharaj. We have people like Maharana Pratap, who lived by the culture which India had brought about. Right? To be Indian, to have Indianness means what? To know your own roots, to know your spirituality, to know the answers to questions like what is life, what is death, what is karma, what is dharma, what is reincarnation. Basic questions which everybody is expected being born in India to raise with. Unfortunately, one of our devotees had gone to a village for preaching. Now imagine, you think city is affected by modernization, when villages, you know, they are quite cultured. Now he went and started telling the story of Ramayana in that. And then somebody asked a question, one kid. Kid nahi, means almost like a teenager. She's asking that, who is this monkey which you are talking about? Now imagine, we have been born and brought up knowing about Hanuman ji and Sita and Ram, and this basic question is being asked by a youth in a village. Now imagine till where the depth of the fracture has gone. It's not a hairline fracture. It's a deep fracture in the major joint of our society which is happening. So now it's not, you know, like village and city. Everywhere this problem has come about of what? Where have our values gone? A man is known by what? Man or a woman, a person is known by the values they keep in their life, isn't it? Today a man or woman is known by the type of mobile they have, by the type of car they use. Oh, you use iPhone, then you must be a modern person. You're using Reliance ka dabba. Backward, orthodox type of person, you know. That we, our judging criteria has only changed. If you, 15th August, 26th January, you hear these patriotic songs. And this one song which I really liked, which really depicts our culture, I don't know how to sing it because I'm not a good singer, but I'll just repeat the words of it. I don't know who sang and where it was, but it said, Jahan dal dal par sone ki chidiya karti hai vasera, wo Bharat desh hai mera. जहाँ पक पक पर सत्य अहिंसा और धर्म का लगता है डेरा वो भारत देश है मेरा. You understand the meaning? Everybody knows Hindi. You understand के India was known as this. It was known as सोने की चिड़िया. Why was it known as a golden bird? Because it had so much. And that's why people from all over the world would come and invade India. They never thought of invading America or China or Japan because they didn't have anything to take from them. But India had everything. It had a rich culture, it had rich wealth, it had rich, name it, you know, variety of food, rich clothing, rich values, everything. So people would attack India, and that is why India was known as a city of, as a country of giving. It always gave. It gave hospitality, it gave respect, even to people who intruded. The Portuguese, they came, but we never shoved them off, you know, we welcomed them. Even though they were what? Atithi. They were not welcome, we had not invited them. They just came, but India was, that was a rich culture that even enemies were welcomed. And when can you give something to somebody? When you have it, right? If you ask me, Vishaka, can you give me 1,000 rupees? And I say, but I have only 500. So how do I give it to you? If I don't have, I can't give. So India had so much to give. And India had so much, and that's why it was very, very satisfied. It didn't have to look here and there for anything. It was self-satisfied. They had a very, very high sense of self-esteem in those days. And what did the Britishers do when they came? If they had to conquer India, what they had to do first? They had to break our confidence only. They had to break our self-esteem. Our high self-esteem had to be converted into such a low self-esteem by making us believe that we are very, very what? Primitive. We are very uncivilized. We are very unscientific. And by putting this, brainwashing us again and again, we started thinking, yeah, we are backward, you know. India is a backward country. Now, if we were backward, why were people coming to us? You don't go to backward places to get, do you go to Dharavi slum to get something? No. You'll go to a very posh area to get something, right? So how is it that we got convinced? Because they attacked at the very root of our self-esteem, right? If you try to analyze, what is the difference between a person who has a high self-esteem and a low self-esteem? A person who has a high self-esteem is always very confident. The person who has high self-esteem is very determined. He is very convinced about whatever they are doing because they know that I'm doing the right thing. And what happens to a person who has a low self-esteem? They try to imitate other people because they think out of fear of not being accepted, out of fear of rejection, alienation. What you try to do? You try to imitate. You try to follow. You try to compromise. Right? You feel that it's okay, you know. If little bit of compromise I do, then I will be socially accepted, like this girl was doing. So many compromises in her life just to be accepted in her peer circle. Right? So if you try to understand that this Indianness of ours was removed when we should have had the highest self-esteem, we lost it, right? And on the other hand, if you talk about globalization, we are talking Indian at heart, but we have to be global in spirit. So what's the definition of globalization? The definition of globalization is taking anything or any product or any ideology, or any system with a view to have a worldwide application. Right? I just want to repeat it. It means taking anything, any product, ideology, systems with a view to give it a worldwide application. Only then you can say, no, global. How would you make it global if it was just limited to your own village or your own city? In olden days, Indians, sometimes people, our grandparents, they never left their village. Forget going anywhere, you know. We know some people that they thought, if you cross the border of your village, then you are like, you know, outcast type of people. They were born there, they died there, they never went out for a vacation or anything. They just remained over there. So when we are talking about the concept of heart and spirit, Indian at heart and global in spirit, what are we trying to say? What is the meaning of the word heart? Is your heart and my heart same? No. Because your heart gives you an identity and my heart gives myself an identity. Right? So heart means it's a sense of identity. It means a sense of belonging. Where do I belong? I belong where my heart is. Right? Even if I am sitting at home, if my heart is outside, I'm outside. And even if I'm outside, my heart is at home, I'm at home. So it means a sense of belonging. It means a sense of life's values, right? It is the acceptance of traditions, the culture which we come from. That is the heart. The attitude which we keep, that is our heart. And that is always unchanging. It never changes. It remains constant. It doesn't change. On the other hand, if we talk of spirit, spirit means what? It's an outlook. It's an outlook which you will have. You know, it's a range of activities which you might do. And this can be changing. And definitely it changes according to what? Desh, kal, patra. We say it changes according to time, place, circumstance. At home you wear a common dress. When you go to office, you cannot wear your house dress and go out. And what you wear in a party, you cannot come home and sleep in that. According to time, place, circumstance, the spirit keeps changing, but the heart always remains constant. So we want to just have this distinction first before we go ahead. What is Indianness? What is globalization? What is the concept of the word heart? And what is spirit? Did you understand? So Rasrani will take it further.
Haribol, how many of you here have heard about Batman and Robin? Heard, no? Famous. So Batman is a superhero and this sidekick is Robin. He's just accompanying around. Major hard-hitting work was done by Batman. Robin is to just move around him. So Batman, Robin. So pay attention to what she's saying. I'm just the sidekick here. I just want to... how many of you used to... I mean, like Mataji said, she narrated some words of an old Hindi song. I think most of us don't even listen to old... What is old Hindi songs? It's all Gaya Gujra things, right? But there is this famous Hindi song. I don't know if you all know it. Mera Juta Hai Japani, Ye Patloon. You know it? Very good. Ye Patloon English Tani, Sar Pe Lal Topi Rusi, Par Dil Bhi Hai Hindu. Okay. So I think this song, somehow it essayed the essence of the heart of our culture. Wherever, whatever globalization may have come in or may have not come in, at heart, ideally, we should remain Indians. Now, how many of us actually remain Indians? We don't know. But this is the message. Our philosophy always has been... Next slide. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Have you heard this phrase? Vasudeva Kutumbakam. It actually means one world family. If you break it, the word in Sanskrit, it means Vasudha Eva Kutumbakam. Vasudha means Mother Earth. Eva means only. And Kutumbakam is family. So the Mother Earth, this is our only family. No designations. That is why as Indians, we all, as Mataji mentioned, we always extended ourselves to anybody who came. Treated them like family, like God. Atithi Devo Bhava. You must have heard this. Our arms are always open. And like she explained, so many invaders came in. At the same time, there were people who showed us examples, by through their example, that how this spirit was embodied. One famous example is this king of Jamnagar, then it was known as Navanagar. He was the nephew of Ranjit Singh, the great cricketer. And he was very lovingly known as Jam Sahib. So Jam Sahib ruled over, this was just, you know, in the late 40s, 1940s. And he ruled over his kingdom of Jamnagar. Now what happened, the Second World War was raging in Europe. And you know, the egomaniac Hitler, he was basically massacring all Jews. So many of the Polish Jews, they escaped from Poland and they tried to find sanctuary in the nearby countries. Obviously nobody in Europe helped them. Because Europe itself was in doldrums. There was nothing to help. So the ship finally came to the port of Gujarat. And there, Jam Sahib welcomed them. There were more than 640 refugees. But he welcomed them very, very with open arms. He welcomed them and he rehabilitated them. Did not treat them like immigrants. Treated them with great respect. Learned great aspects of their Polish culture. But never changed his innate attitude of Indianness. And today, you know, it's surprising if you actually Google him and read about him. In Poland, there are parks named after him. There are roads named after him. And there's a school that is named after him. So in Poland also, they revere him because he was the one that showed them the culture of India. So I think we have our leaders like these to, you know, guide us and remind us about the spirit and culture of India.
Next. Now this is a very, very beautiful story which I want to tell you. And it's very interesting. How many of you all have been to Vrindavan? Wow, that's good. In Vrindavan, there is the most famous deity is of Banke Bihari Ji. And how many of you all know the story of Banke Bihari? Good, you all don't know, so I can tell you. It's a very, very interesting story. The first time I had been to Vrindavan, I've been several times. I was so much enamored by the story, you know. It just stuck in my mind like anything. It's a story of a villager who was staying in the village and he had only one desire. What was his desire? I want to serve the topmost person. And who's the topmost person in the village? Is the zamindar. So he went to the zamindar and he caught his feet and he said, please zamindar ji, please, please let me serve you, you know. My life will be fulfilled if you can allow me to do this. The zamindar said, okay, okay, fine. Please come, serve me. So he kept serving the zamindar for some time. But he would notice that every now and then, the zamindar would go to meet the sarpanch. So he thought, that means zamindar is not the greatest. Sarpanch is higher than him. So I want to serve the highest person. So then I think I should go to the sarpanch. So then he went to the sarpanch and said, sarpanch ji, you know, please, my desire is to serve the highest person in the world. So I want to serve you. So please don't deprive me of this opportunity. Sarpanch said, fine, join the entourage. He started serving in the house of the sarpanch. For some time he served at the sarpanch and he would notice that somebody was coming to the sarpanch's house once in a year and, you know, meeting him. So he said, who is this person? He said, oh, he's the tax collector. I have to report to the tax collector. So in his mind, he said, oh, come on now. That means that the tax collector is higher. So then I should serve the tax collector. So he goes and meets the tax collector, you know, in the jilla. He leaves the village and he goes to the district level and he says, tax collector ji, I want to serve you. And then he serves the tax collector and he notices that the tax collector reports to the governor. So he said, then I have to serve the governor. So he goes to the governor and he tells the governor, let me serve you. Governor lets him serve him. And then he notices that this governor, he goes every month to the king. And he followed him one day and he saw that this big palace and, you know, guards are there and huge mansion and servants and everything. Saying, looks like he must be the biggest person because look how many people are serving him. So then he approaches the king and he says, Maharaj, please, please allow me to serve you, you know. So the king was looking at him and he said, please, I promise you, you know, I will not disappoint you. I will be the best servant. So the king, taking pity on him, he says, okay, you serve me. He starts serving the king. And then he was very happy for a long time. He served the king. But he noticed one thing, that when in the night time, this king would change his clothes and go into the forest and come back in the morning. So he was wondering, this king seemed to be the topmost person. Now where is he going in the middle of the forest? In the middle of the night and removing his royal clothes and going. So one day he secretly followed the king into the forest and he saw that the king is walking. And he saw a small light in a hut. And he saw the king enter the hut. So he hid in the window and he noticed that this king in those days the kings were not of Chitlu Pitlu kingdoms, you know, like Maharaja of here and Maharaja or there. Like sometimes we feel we are like Maharanis or what, Kuch Nahi Nagar. So they are not like that. They used to be kings of vast kingdoms. So he was like a really big person and he saw that this king would go and there was one sadhu sitting like this. And he would go and do dandavat pranam to him. Oh, and he was awestruck, you know, that what an amazing thing that this big king in front of this sadhu is in his loincloth sitting. He's bowing down, so he waited for the king to go. And then he went to this king and he said, Swamiji, I thought that I was serving the highest person. But today I have realized that my search has come to an end. And you are the highest person. Because even this king is bowing down to you. So please allow me to serve you. So what did the saintly person do? He's saying, my dear son, don't be in the illusion. You want to serve the highest person? Come with me, I will take you. I will show you who is the highest person. So he took this person to Vrindavan, into the deep forest, to the temple of Bake Bihari ji. And he showed him the darshan of the Lord. And he said, he is the highest person. Right? So till this person met God himself, Krishna, other people, he kept on thinking that they didn't guide him rightly, right? They said, okay, you serve us. We are the topmost person. So the story I'm telling in this context with one particular moral, that this man, he was changing according to time, place, circumstance. Obviously in the village, he was in a villager's dress. When he went into the governor's place, he was wearing better clothes. In the entourage of the king, he must be wearing royal clothes also. So the spirit kept on changing. But what was it? His heart. I want to serve. I want to serve the highest person. That did not change. Right? So this is a very, very wonderful example to show that externals can keep changing. I can go to America. I can go to Africa. I can go to New Zealand, Japan, Timbuktu, anywhere. So my, obviously, externals will definitely change, right? That's the dream today. You ask even a small kid, the other day, you know, some children were passing out of, when you pass out of 10th standard is one thing, you have career orientation, you know what you do. This kid was there, he just passed his first standard. And we had visited their home and I was asking, you know, very chubby, you know, so I was saying, oh, so cute, you know. But what do you want to become when you grow up big? I want to go to America, he's telling me. And I'm surprised, what does he know what is America? What does he know what is this or what is that? But everybody has formed this dream, this bubble, that I want to go to America. I want to go to the US. Why? Because you feel, oh, that is global. The world is America. Our mindset has become like that. So at that time, I was just trying to remember that doesn't matter where we go. But there is this beautiful saying of Jesus Christ. You know, he made a very beautiful statement. He said, you be in this world, but do not be of this world. Have you heard of this? That means what? That you can live in this world, but do not forget that you have come from the kingdom of God. So don't start identifying yourself with this world. Remain aloof in your heart. Let your heart, don't sell your heart over here. You can be over here physically, but don't let that happen. So like we saw in the drama, this is a very common phrase which we hear many times. Such people like Pooja are called what? A, B, C, D. What is that? We have heard A, B, C, D. It means an American born confused Deshi. You have heard that, right? But today in India, we have IBCD. Means what? People like Pooja. Indian born confused Deshi. They do not know, they do not understand, you know, that I am born in India, but I try to be like an American. But we do not understand that unfortunately or unfortunately, I don't know what term to use. We were just in the US few months back and we visited some devotees' home. Indian, Punjabi family, you know. And as soon as we enter into their house, this is the first time we are going to their house. And they have two sons. One was in the 5th standard and one was in the 8th standard. As soon as we go, both of them came and they touched our feet. And I was like so much surprised that this is America. Am I in America? I'm in India. Even in India, our children don't do. Some of the homes we visit, our relatives or our friends, the parents have to say, "Are, pair padho? Nahin. Are, touch the feet. Namaste to bolo, Hare Krishna. Nahin." That much also they will not do, being in India. But these kids were in America, and they were more Indian than our Indian kids. So are they in India or are our kids in India? Did the physical geography make a difference? Physical geography made no difference. They were there, but they were more Indian. And our Indian kids being in India, they are less Indian than us. So we have to try to understand that what is the meaning of Indian. Indian means to understand our core values. These values which have been taught to our ancestors, which have been handed down, we think we are inheriting our heritage. You get a lot of money from our ancestors, then that is the real inheritance. But real inheritance is not the wealth that you inherit. Real inheritance is the culture that we are going to inherit. And that is why you see that this forgotten culture, many times it happens because of misguided leadership. All of you know that since the past few years, India is again enjoying the leadership of Narendra Modi. Shriman Narendra Modi. And why is he so glorious? And why is the dying hope of India again being rekindled? Because he has his values in place. All of you know the time when he went to Japan, right? What did he give to the leader of Japan? Anybody knows? What gift? When you go to visit somebody, you take a gift, right? The leader of India has gone to meet the leader of Japan. What gift did he give him? He gave him Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And while giving it to him, he said that there was nothing better in India which I could bring as a gift than this Bhagavad Gita to offer you. This is the best thing that I have from India to offer. Who is saying this? Not you and me. The Prime Minister of India is saying this, that there is nothing better that India has to offer the world. And there is nothing better the world can receive than Bhagavad Gita. Now imagine, his fundas are so clear. And if such leadership is there, then we can remain Indian at heart and still remain global. It's not that he sat in India in the villages of Gujarat and he was not doing anything. He is globalizing India. He is traveling everywhere and he is spreading the spirit of Indianness through the values and the culture which is there. Right?
This act of Narendra Modi ji, or what Mataji was describing, this reminds me of a phrase that actually should be in practice. That you can take the girl out of India, but you can't take India out of the girl. That should be. You can leave your country, but the spirit or the essence of your country should stay. In continuation with what she was speaking about Narendra Modi ji, what inspired me a lot was in 2014 he went to the United States during this Navratri time. Okay, now he was a guest of Barack Obama, who is probably the world's most powerful leader. And when you go there, you are treated like a king. So many, you know, rich food items. You are offered lots of things. But Modi ji has been fasting for Navratri for the last 35 years. And so even though he was the guest of the greatest leader of the United States, Modi ji stuck to his principles. He fasted for Navratri in the US. Right? This is very inspirational, because at the drop of the hat, we are ready to give up our principles. But our leaders have shown through time in that they do not give their principles. Primarily being Shivaji Maharaj. Shivaji Maharaj is considered as India's greatest and most visionary leader. He actually embodies the spirit of love for the motherland. But even at that time, he understood that if I have to deal with the Portuguese who were invading through the waters, then I need to work on something other than the guerrilla warfare tactics which he had used with the Mughals. And so he started building about a navy. So he is called as the father of the Indian Navy, because he was the first one to put these pieces together, and he built a huge navy. And do you know how he built this navy? He took the help of Portuguese naval commanders who had decided that they didn't want to work for the Portuguese, and with the help of the same Portuguese naval commanders, he beat the Portuguese. Right? So this is what we understand by means that you might be global in your spirit, but your heart remains Indian. Similarly, Bhagat Singh, the guns were got to India by the Britishers. Yes, we didn't have guns before. But Bhagat Singh, he was not averse to using guns to kill those same Britishers. Yes, spirit was the same, to protecting his motherland. Next slide. Even Mahatma Gandhi went abroad, got his degree in law, went to South Africa, learnt everything, came back and worked for the country. Yeah, he literally gave away his degree when he started working for the country. And Swami Vivekanand. Vivekanand was a very, very learned man. And he got an invitation to speak at, a conference about religions in Chicago. And at that time, Hinduism was not represented in the world at all. And he was invited. So he went there to speak about Hinduism. And he started his conversation by saying, anybody knows? Exactly. My dear brothers and sisters, and he got a standing ovation because nobody in the West had heard this concept of brothers and sisters. This is the heart of India. We are all brothers and sisters. So when he embodied that, he received a standing ovation, and he is known as a person. He was the one who brought the factor of Hinduism formally in the United States and over the world. And people started saying that, yeah, this culture is pretty amazing. It's not about just being downtrodden, and it is not about, you know, the land of elephants and the land of snake charmers, right?
You see this jar? It has water in it and it has oil in it, right? Now these two are what type of substances? Immiscible substances. So when we are talking about Indian at Heart and Global in Spirit, we are trying to say how we can follow this principle that you can be in a particular environment, but you don't have to mix up with that. You have to keep your own identity. Does oil keep its own identity? Or it loses its identity? It can never lose its identity. No matter there is tons of water and little bit of oil, but oil will always, in spite of the difference in the quantity, it will remain immiscible. So what we are trying to say is that we should be proud of our identity. So what are we trying to say? Are we trying to arouse your patriotic feelings that, you know, yeah, Mera Bharat Mahan, you know, we should be Indian. Are we trying to say that? No. We are trying to say who was the first person in history who brought about this concept of globalization. Next slide, we'll go back to this. The first person who brought about this concept of globalization was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is standing on our altar over here. He was the one who thought globally. As I said, many of our parents or many of the saints also in the olden days, they never thought of crossing the ocean and Saat Samundar Paar Jane Ka. So you are mad. Whatever you have to do, either here only. But he was the one who gave the prediction and who gave the order first. What did he say? Go to every town and village of the world and spread the message of God. He didn't say, okay, go to every village in India or every village of Maharashtra. So who, if we try to, sometimes people try to convince us that, you have become a devotee. That means, you know, your growth will be stunted. You will have no limited scope for, you know, enhancing your outlook in life or your future, or it will make you less ambitious. Now who can be more ambitious than this, that you want to conquer the whole world? You are thinking on a global concept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. So are devotees against globalization? It's not that Krishna consciousness teaches us to be against globalization, but they teach us how to be truly global. When our Srila Prabhupada, he went and he met his spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At that time, Srila Prabhupada, he was a follower of Gandhi. He was following Gandhian movement. So when he met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was his guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave him an order. He said, you are an English speaking man. You should go all over the world and do what? Preach the message of Lord Chaitanya to everybody. And Prabhupada gave him and looked at him and he said, okay, we are still a dependent country. We are under subjugation of the Britishers. How can we, do this? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave a very, very beautiful answer. What did he say? Politics will keep changing, but the eternal Sanatan Dharma never changes. So what was he talking about? Again, the heart and the spirit. Politics will change. Today Congress, today, Narendra Modi is there, tomorrow somebody else will be there. Before Congress was there, Shiv Sena could be there, whatever. So should we keep changing according to them? We have to finally come and settle down with what is my real identity. Am I a BJP? Am I Janata Party? Am I Congress Party? Am I Indian? Am I American? Am I Pakistani? What am I? What am I? I am a confused person till I do not get the right vision specs. We see this chashma. Now this has a black frame. Today if you go to the optical shop, there are beautiful, beautiful frames available. Colorful, floral, golden, silver, rimless. Name it, you know. It takes so long to choose a frame, you know. You keep looking, this frame is good, that frame is good. But you choose the costliest of frame, the most decorative of frame. What is the most important part of the specs? The glasses. Which are glasses is glasses. It's not golden glasses or silver glasses. The frame is golden or silver, but the glasses are glasses. And the value of the specs is as much as the glasses are clear and your vision is clear. Right? We talk about 20/20 vision. How does that come about? When you have, there's a difference between seeing and the vision. I can see, but I may not be able to have the right vision. So it's not only about seeing with our two eyes. When you see with the eyes of the mind, that is known as vision. Right? What is vision? Vision, you don't have a vision through your eyes. Even a blind person can have a vision. A blind person cannot see. So what we want to convey is that the specs and the glasses are more important than the specs. So when we are talking of globalization, it would only mean like the frame. No matter how decorative it is, globalization will have only enough value to the extent the heart or the substance or the content is very clear. The vision is clear. And that is what is given to us by our acharyas through the parampara. Right? Till we don't have the vision. And I was talking in the beginning of low self-esteem and high self-esteem. Today, people don't believe me if I say, they think I'm a liar. But when I was a kid, I was a very, very insecure, a very shy, very uncertain, very fearful type of kid, you know. I had no confidence. I had very, very low self-esteem about myself. I would always compromise on so many things. I would want to do, when I would see, I'm not a good dancer, but I would see people dancing on movies, so I would feel, when will I be able to do? But I had no confidence only. When I would see people speak, I would say, when will I be able to speak? I just couldn't speak only. Forget talking into an audience. I couldn't speak to a stranger. I was so insecure about my own thought process, about my own feelings, about my communication skills, about my words. The moment I was fortunate enough to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, I got something of such value that boosted my self-confidence so much that today I can repeat, because I know that it's not something of my own. This vision, this 2020 vision was given to us by whom? By our saintly people of this world. And that's where you get your booster of your self-confidence. That okay, I'm confident because it has helped me. If I share it with others, it will help them. So that became like a very, very good booster. So when we are talking about Indian at heart and global in spirit, what are we trying to understand? Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the book, the Shastra, which we follow, it gives a very important message. It says that you are fortunate if you are born in India, Bharat Desh. Bharat Bhumi is a very pavitra bhumi. It's a very punya bhumi. Not everybody has the fortune of being born in Bharat Varsh. So if you are born in Bharat Varsh, you become fortunate. But you become more fortunate when, if in Bharat Varsh you are born in a pious Hindu family, where the culture of Vedas is very, very prevalent, right? And it opens up the house of the Vedas. If you are fortunate to be born in such a family. But it goes one step further and it says you become even more fortunate, most fortunate when we are fortunate if you are born in India. You are more very fortunate if you come in contact with a Hindu family. But you become most fortunate when you come in contact with a school of bhakti. ISKCON is a school of bhakti. There are many other schools of bhakti. Why? Because bhakti is the culmination of the Vedic principles which we are talking about. So if you have got that fortune, then you are the most fortunate. And that is what we are, a bunch of people over here. We are those most fortunate people who were born in India. Strain out of that, you are born in cultured Hindu families. Strain out of that, you have come in contact with the school of bhakti. So when we are talking of the Indian spirit, we are not talking about patriotism. Because as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, That can change and that will change. But we are talking of the core values which India represents. India represents the culture of bhakti to us. And that culture of bhakti, when we can imbibe in ourselves, then what happens? All the things follow automatically in us and our heart gets deeply rooted. I would just like to share the story of, the experience of meeting two of our boys from our congregation. Very close friends, their boys, they always wanted to go abroad and study. And here, they would argue with their parents and their parents would say, don't do this, do this. So always our parents are telling us, ye mat karo, wo karo, this is good for you, that is not to come to temple. Don't eat this type of food, don't wear this type of clothes like this. The mother was telling, where is our mother? Was telling Pooja, that don't do this, this is the type of clothes you wear. So these boys were fed up and they wanted to go and study abroad. So they went to the US to study, and when we went to US this time, we took out time to meet them because we wanted to, just see how they are faring. Because here they were like frustrated, confused type of people over here. And believe me, our hearts could not stop swelling with pride when we met these boys. They are our devotee children. And when the talks they were sharing with us, they were telling us that today being away from home, and they are saying home, we are not referring to home as our home, we are referring to home as India. Today we are realizing the value of every word our parents used to tell us. That don't eat this, eat this. Today we know the value of that. Don't wear this, wear this. We know the value of that. Come to temple. Today we are realizing the value of that. That how much we want to go to temple, but there is no temple around us. We have to drive so far to go to that temple. And we are realizing the value of everything which we were rejecting when we were in India. And how much we are feeling, that was so important. And that was the heart of what we should imbibe. And it gave us such pleasure to know that their fundas are very deeply rooted, no matter what they are doing. And it was giving us the remembrance of the example of a lotus. Where does a lotus grow? Muddy place. Lotus is a very beautiful flower, right? In fact, you look at Krishna and you say, oh, his feet are like lotus feet. We say lotus face, lotus like eyes. You compare only to beautiful things. You don't compare to ugly things. That Krishna's beauty is like lotus. You don't mean lotus that way. It's a beautiful plant, a beautiful flower, one of the most beautiful flowers. But it grows in the most mucky environment. Now how does it remain beautiful? And the scientific reasoning is that the lotus is up on the surface of the mud, but the roots are at the bottom. And in the below, it is crystal clear water. It takes its nutrients to remain and enhance its beauty right from where? From the roots. And that's how it can remain beautiful. So again, as we are talking about, our heart should be connected down there. And then the spirit can keep on changing.
So if this connection is not there, then what you have is this phrase. I'm sure you've heard this phrase. Have you heard of this phrase? Dhobi ka kutta na ghar ka na ghat ka. He can't work like a donkey, neither can he serve his master at the house because he's at the ghat. Right? This reminds me of the story of the blind man and the lame man. So there were two friends, I'm sure you know this. One was blind and one was lame. And they both decided that we are going to go on a long journey to, make out and search for some riches. And so they set out on this long journey. Immediately they were met with obstacles. Why? Because a blind man wasn't really able to see anything that was in front of him on his path. So if there were some obstacles, he would fall down. If there were some thorns, he was not able to see them. So at every step on his way, he was getting hurt and he was bleeding. Similarly, the lame man had a very, very clear vision. He could see the path for kilometers and kilometers along. But unfortunately, he didn't have the ability to move ahead. He could, even though he wanted to, he couldn't go ahead. So both these friends sat together there, very frustrated, thinking, what should we do? And that's when they came to a realization that if we both help each other out, I think we'll be successful. And so they devised this plan. What did the lame man do? He sat on the shoulders of the blind man and started guiding the blind man. So the blind man, who had two good feet, took the burden of the lame man who had the vision, and this vision help both of them to reach their destination and earn their riches. So I think that is the understanding that we should have about heart and spirit. If we combine the Indianness with the globalization, we will be successful. You can't take separate them, right? In today's day and age, you can't say, oh, I'll only be Indian and that's it. I've got nothing to do with globalization. Then it becomes a frog in a well mentality. You know about frog in the well? A frog in the well thinks that his well is the only well. There's nothing beyond the well. So we can't say that this is it, right? We can't say that, no, Indianness, I only want to be like that. What we are saying is imbibe the spirit without losing the heart.
So just as I was explaining about Lord, this I was telling about Lord Chaitanya, how he said he was the one who made the globalization concept come first. And then in parampara, it was handed down to our Srila Prabhupada. Next slide. Srila Prabhupada. And what type of global thinking did he have? Imagine when he went to the West, before he was leaving India, his godbrothers were there and they were all sitting together and they were saying, they were having the last dinner together and the godbrother said that, Swamiji, you should learn how to eat with spoon and fork because there you will have to eat like that. So Prabhupada looked at them and said, I am not going there to learn anything. I am going there to teach. Right? Usually we go abroad for what? To get something from them. If you want to learn how to be like them, you know, we want to learn how to be professional like them. We want to learn this, we want to learn that. Why? Because we have very low self-esteem of ourselves. But Prabhupada was so convinced and he had such self-esteem, not in himself, but in Krishna. What did he say? That I am going to teach the world. Teach what? Krishna conscious principles. Right? So he had that sort of confidence. And what sort of changes he made over there? If he would have just stuck to it, okay, I am a Swamiji, I cannot do this, I cannot talk to women. In traditional, we have like that, right? Saintly people, they don't talk to women, they travel in alone, you know, they will not cross the ocean, they will not fly by jet airways, by jet flight and all of that. But Prabhupada did all of that. He used technology, he used airplanes, he married people, he gave initiation to women. Now what more globalization somebody can do than this type of thing? But did he leave his roots? If he would have, then he would have gone in saffron clothes there and come back in suit and tie. Did he do that? Was he ashamed that, chalo yaar, India mein 4 regulative principles you can say, but when we go to the West, I will say only 2 or max 3, you know. If I say 4, let's compromise on it. No. He was a person of no compromise. Why? Because he was convinced that the spirit is different and the heart is different. I will give them the heart of India. I am going to go and give it to them. And as far as I can keep that rooted, there is no fear. So I'd like to end with the story, famous story of the crocodile and the monkey. You know that? This crocodile and monkey, they were two friends. And the crocodile one day told the monkey, come with me, now. Come for dinner to my place. So the monkey said, okay. So he said, but I don't know swimming. Said, no problem, you sit on my back, I'll take you. So the crocodile took the monkey on the back and he started going in the middle of the river. And the monkey was very happy. And when he came in the middle of the river, what happened? The crocodile started going down. Because where is the house of the crocodile? Inside the water. So the monkey told the crocodile, Are, what are you doing, you know? They're saying, we are going to my house. So, but you said we are going for dinner. He said, yeah, you are my dinner. Today I am going to eat your heart, because that is the most favorite food of the crocodile is what? The heart. Right? So the monkeys have less intelligence, but he was an intelligent monkey. He said, oh come on, you should have told me before. My heart is on the tree. I've left the heart on the tree, you know. So we'll have to go, let's go and get it and then you can, you know, have your dinner. So the crocodile came up and he took the monkey to the shore. And what happened? Immediately he jumped and he went on the tree. And what did he do? He showed him the thumb and he said, goodbye, carry on, I'm not going to come. Right? So I love the story. It's so relevant to us youngsters. Us means I'm not young. You all are young. To the youth of today. Right? Crocodile represents time. Kal factor. When you see crocodile, what do you feel? Like hugging the crocodile? Do you feel like that? You're scared. You want to remain away. Huh? So all of us know what is the inevitable factor of life which is affecting us. What is the factor?
Time
factor. Time factor is affecting us in so many ways. So slowly, slowly we are getting consumed. How we would wish that we were those small young girls in the frock running around and moving. But we never even realized how time went by and we are like grown up. Tomorrow we'll be married. Day after tomorrow we'll have dentures and we'll be walking with walking stick and time will just go. Right? So the crocodile of time is devouring us. And if we do not imbibe the spirit of what we are trying to convey, and root our values properly and have our values in place and remain like that lotus whose roots are down and getting the nourishment from there, what will happen to us? Crocodile of time will devour us and have us for dinner. But we should be intelligent enough and keep our heart in the right place. So we want to understand that which is the right place to keep my heart with the right type of people. As I said in the beginning, we are where our heart is. So if you keep our hearts with the right type of people, what will happen? Our hearts will remain safe. But if we give our heart to wrong type of people, then what happens? It gets finished. So what we want to try to convey is that all of you are young, intelligent girls. Right? Nobody is dumb over here. And I'm sure you all have that power of discrimination, because if you didn't have, today you would not be here. On a Saturday evening, you could be doing 1 million freak out things than rather than coming to the temple. And I'm sure some of your friends must have laughed at you, or your parents might have told you, kaha ja rahi hai temple, pagal ho gayi hai kya? Ye umar hai kya temple jane ka? Many people must have heard about that. And you know, there might have been many pressing things which could have, you know, exams are there or I have to do this, that. But you used your power of discrimination to come here. So firstly, we would like to congratulate you for doing that. And please keep coming here, because such programs and such places are the place where your intelligence will be sharpened properly. And we need time to time to sharpen our pencils. Then what to talk of our intelligence? To continue smooth writing. So if we want our life to go on smoothly, we'll need to time and again refocus our attention that where is my heart? Stop time to time and ask, is my heart in the right place? Is my heart with the right person? Is my heart with the right this thing? And that is why having our heart at the right person is what, at this age, when we talk of heart, we only think of boys. My heart, I wish I find the right type of boy. But the best boy to give your heart to is this blue boy standing on the altar over here, right? He's a 16-year-old youth. So we can obviously take the chance to give our heart to him. And it would be the best thing if our heart gets attached to this blue boy rather than any other boy whom we are not sure of. So please try to understand the true concept of what we are trying to say, that being a devotee and having our core values and our culture in place doesn't make us backward. Don't believe in this wrong propaganda that the world is trying to make to us, that don't go to temple, don't read Bhagavad Gita. Imagine a leader like Narendra Modi, he thought Bhagavad Gita was the best thing to give, right? Soon we are having our book marathon in November, December month. Kindly don't think that this is not my age to read Bhagavad Gita. Then which is the age? When you die? We'll keep postponing, you know. I'll read tomorrow. Tomorrow you may not even have the eyes to read. What to talk of, do anything. And it's not an orthodox book. It is the most modern book which we can apply today in our situation, because our lives are also at war today. And what Krishna told Arjuna is that how I should lead my life in this war situation. And we are always at war. War with what? Our values and the social trends which are there today. It's a war going on today and we are getting pulled apart. So books like Bhagavad Gita, which our leaders like Narendra Modi are also telling us, we should take it seriously and try to give it a chance. Read it sometimes. You might read Enid Blyton, you might read Hardy Boys, you might read Tintin. So many other books might be there, you know, to read. Along with that, also try to read these good books which will give us good values and give us the right spirit so that we can be Indian at heart and global in spirit in the true sense of the word, what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions or comments to make? You can share. Yeah.
Hello. Hare Krishna. I'm always scared of the things which are going to happen in my life. Like, I'm not married, so I'm scared that what if I would not get a right partner? What if I'm not able to be happy after my married life? What if I'm not able to have a child? Or what if I'm not able to take care of myself? I don't know why I'm thinking so much, but I'm always scared of all these things. What if I fail in my career? What if my future mother-in-law is upset with me all the time? What if I screw up my life? This is what my fear is. So how do I deal with this fear of mine of, you know, all the time messing up things?
How many of us think like that, and she's speaking on our behalf? Very true. I am just putting myself in your place. Few years back, how I was thinking like this. And as I told you, that fear comes because of unknown. Right? We have fear of darkness because it's an unknown area. I have not gone there. That is why I am afraid of that place. But if I have knowledge, then I'm not afraid. Isn't it? I'm afraid of darkness in somebody else's house. But even if in my own house, if the light goes for some time, I know exactly where the torch is, where the cupboard is, where the kitchen is. It will not go in the wrong place. So knowledge removes fear. And that's exactly what I gave my own personal example also. We are very insignificant people, but by all these fears, as I told you, I was so insecure, so fearful, so nervous type of person. Always I would compromise and, you know, try to flow with the herd mentality. Okay, if you all are also going to smoke, I'll also try to smoke like those girls were doing. All those things I was doing out of fear. But once my value system was in place, my value system was in place, my vision was clear that this is what I want, right? And if my basics are clear and I'm trying to do this, follow this path of bhakti which is taking me towards God, will God not help me? He will help me. And when He will help me, when my systems are in place, then everything goes in the right order. So even if I get a bad partner, suppose, but I know what is the direction of my life. It doesn't crash me down or crumble me down. It's not that in devotee circle there are no marital problems, but we know how to cope up with it because you have a higher weapon of knowledge. It's not that, you know, there is no fear of failing or, you know, something bad will happen to us. So many bad things happen to devotees, but you have the weapon of knowledge. So the way to overcome fear is have our value system proper through the weapon of knowledge which comes from these books, which are scriptures, which externally they appear so thick books, you know, who's going to read it? But Prabhupada has been so merciful, he has written small books breaking up the subject matter. So if we remain connected to like-minded people and we study, consider the temple as a college and try to understand the principles, then that fear will go away. We'll take her and then, yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Speak in.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. So while both the Matajis were giving us the lecture, I don't know how many of us.
It's on. You speak in the mouth. Stick it to your lips.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
That's fine. Speak loudly.
Hare Krishna. So, while both Matajis were giving us the lecture, I don't know how many of us have seen that movie, Purab or Paschim, and heard that song. I just want to highlight one line. Jahan Ram abhi tak hai, nar mein nari mein abhi tak Sita hai. So, that song and that movie is like closely related to what we heard. So, that only line I wanted to highlight. Hare Krishna.
It's very true what she's saying, but unfortunately we have to take support of these movies to prove our points, you know. Instead of having saying like that, you know, that in Ramayana this was said, in Mahabharata, today even we are having to quote some lines or some songs from the movies because social media has become so much influential in impacting our minds. But it's very true that if we could just, every husband wants to have Sita like girl as a wife, but they want to be like Ravan. And every girl wants Ram as her husband, Ram like person as her husband, while she wants to be like Surpankha, you know, flirting with so many boys. Approaching Ram or approaching Lakshman or somebody. So again, it is about our value system. What does Ram represent? What does Sita represent? So if it was, then we would be living in Ram Rajya, which is very difficult. One more question was there behind.
Hare Krishna. I have two questions, but you highlight one of them. First is, like, one of my friend, he went to Oxford in last month. I want to ask all of you, are you all aware of Pali language? Yes, Pali language. So he went to do the advanced course over there. And he, when I had a contact with him, he just asked me, Shambhavi, you have any idea that when I went there, he just asked me, what is your culture? What are their Indian culture? And other also, okay, like this. Yeah, and other one is that when we say that Gautam Buddha is one of the an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, but over there they totally point on you and they laugh on this point. Totally that, and they also tell us that there are some books that are actually banned in India just because we said that is the avatar of, you know, Lord Vishnu over here. And has one of the girls over there told about the marriage system. I had seen in my own house that actually after the marriage, that is approximately like after 18 years, 20 years, they got totally depressed and are taking the depression tablets just because they don't have a job. And also there are some problems that actually the husband, but they totally changed. They changed themselves. So it was totally this thing that just give either one of that answer that I thought to share with you all over here.
Now, as I told you that you are living in this world, so you cannot be aloof from the social trends which are going on, right? It's not that because you are a devotee, a car will not come and beat you and you will not have an accident. Oh, isko thokna mat, ye devotee hai. Doesn't happen like that, right? But what do you do when that happens? That is important. So that is what we are trying to understand and inculcate in us, that we are living in this world which is called Dukhalayam Asashvatam. Means what? It is temporary and full of misery. But still, you have the weapons to try to be happy. And again, as I'm saying, how does that come? By being with people who have become happy, by following a path which ensures us that happiness. That is why we are trying to explain that it's not that you will not go through all this, it's going to be a bed of roses or anything. No, that's not true. And as you talked about the Oxford University and all, that's true. When Indians go abroad, people ask them, oh, what is your Indian culture? And you just laugh. Culture? I really don't know what is culture. And you know, this is how we represent ourselves. You go to any other country, some of the other countries, in US, wherever we were traveling, you see outside so many houses, there is an American flag. Outside so many offices, there is an American flag. On the airports, there is American flag. On the railway stations, they are proud of their being Americans. And American, being American is not a word. Again, it's a culture. So again, when we are talking of India, Indianness, please, my dear friends, try to understand, India needs your Indianness. India needs your Indianness. Please give that gift to your country. Do not drift away so much that, you know, you become a dhabba on the name of your country. At least if you cannot do anything good, don't do anything bad. Okay, people see you and you say, look, this is how Indians are. Let you not be a bad example, at least like that. We don't have to get carried away and don't try to imitate. Be proud of your culture. Be happy of what you have. Because see the social trends in those days when they followed this value system was much better. And see the social trend today when we are having that drift, cultural drift away. See the social trends today. Is that not enough proof for us to understand which value system I should follow? In what I should invest? I should invest in a company which gave me rich dividends, or I should invest in a sinking company? Today's society is a sinking society. And temples and devotees are like oases or islands. So take refuge, take shelter of these islands and, you know, improve your life and save yourself from this degradation which is taking place. The most vulnerable people in society is the youth. Older people, they have already set values. Younger kids, they are living in their own world. Who understands best? You. Because you are at that age where you have the power of intelligence to be able to discriminate, and your values are not still so much firm and set. So you are at the best stage in life. That is why we say that this type of understanding is especially for you. Try to understand that. I think we'll have to end. Okay.
So all, thank you for a wonderful question, Sishin Mataji. So all those who are having further questions can personally meet Mataji after the class, after the kirtan. So now I would like to thank Mataji for the wonderful class they both of them gave. So we would like to thank them by loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.